Microphone check, is this thing really on? Hey, P. Chris, get it. Look how she's starting the show. Yes, it is another episode of Unwrapped, and I'm so excited. We're off of our launch. Happened with last week, and I'm still pumped. We're getting a lot of love from there.
You're pumped. I'm relieved.
Ah,
I'm
you like, are. Yes. Oh my God. Janine stresses so much. And I'm like, it's going to work out. She's like, no. So our guest today walked in wearing this shirt that, I mean, makes everyone stop and stare. And it says, Malise Frazier is in the house. And what does your shirt say?
I steam vaginas.
In hot pink, might I add.
Like, yeah, exactly. In hot neon pink. I steam vaginas. I know you get stopped on the street all the time.
Yes.
And what do people say to you?
Well, people stare initially, and then they're like, well, you do what to vaginas? What is that? And I'm like, I steam vaginas. And they're like, oh, okay, tell me more. So... the shirt does exactly what I intended it to do.
Good promo.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. It's really, definitely a showstopper. So, you know, tell us what that's all about. I know first time I heard about it was when Gwyneth Paltrow came out and she talked about steaming vaginas. And we were like, what? I forget if it was on some type of magazine or if it was on her website. I can't remember exactly where the source was. But that was the thing. It hit all of the newsstands.
Actually,
and everyone was talking about
steaming
vaginas.
She endorsed one of the products, one that they use to steam the vagina.
Wow.
How much she believes in it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So let's explain what that means.
Okay, so vaginal steaming is basically an ancient herbal healing modality. Women have been steaming vaginas since the beginning of time. It's very simple, though. To steam a vagina, you just have to sit on a pot of herbal infused water. So it's warm water that has been infused with an herbal blend to treat whatever issue the woman has going on with her vagina or her womb, meaning her uterus. Mm. So women have been caring for each other in this way. If you look at any ancient ethnic community of people, they all have some sort of herbal steaming tradition. And now I am one of the people who is bringing herbal vaginal steaming to the community of women that I come from, that I am familiar with.
Okay, so how does this process work? We walk into your office, right?
Yes.
You take your pants off and you sit on a pot.
You sit on something called a vaginal stool.
Okay.
It is it's very simple. It's nothing complicated about it. It's a wooden stool. It's a box with a hole in it. At the bottom, there's a warmer and a bowl of alkaline water with an herbal mix in it. The water is heated to steam temperature. You sit on it with no underwear, nothing on your bottom from the waist down. And I cover you from the waist down, and you sit for 30 to 45 minutes. So it's very relaxing. It feels like a sauna treatment for your vagina. And then you get up and go on about your day.
So you're just reading magazines. You're looking up, counting the stuff on the wall while your vajayjay's getting, percolated.
Yeah. Does it burn?
No, it doesn't burn. The temperature can be adjusted. Some people like it warmer than others. Like, I'm someone who likes a really hot steam. Other people don't like hot steam, so I can adjust the temperature. It just depends on what you're comfortable with, but definitely does not burn. It just feels like warm air. You sweat. So you sweat a lot during the steam.
Is there discharge afterwards?
Some women drip a little into the basin, but it's not a huge amount of discharge. I can always see the discharge when I take the basin out, just because I know what I'm looking at. But to you, if you got a steam, you probably wouldn't even notice the discharge that comes out.
Now, what are the health benefits of doing this?
Okay, so women do vaginal steaming for a number of reasons. If you have bacterial vaginosis, reoccurring yeast infections, painful or irregular periods, endometriosis, fibroids, cysts, infertility, even digestive issues. Some women who have all sorts of colitis, severe heartburn, they get vaginal steaming. Also, if you have circulatory issues in your the lower half of your body, so if you have restless leg syndrome or if you have nerve damage from like diabetes and things like that, vaginal steaming is good for those things as well. So vaginal steaming is good for a myriad of things, but the main thing that it is good for is the vaginal cavity and the womb.
So if you have any of these issues, which many women suffer from, I suffer from fibroids, how often should you do vaginal steaming?
Okay, if you don't have anything going on and you just want the benefit of the steam to tighten your vagina, which it does tighten your vagina. So a lot of women just want to do vaginal steaming for that fact alone. They're like, oh, $99, I get a whole new cooch. I'm in. So for the basic benefit of vaginal steaming is that it tightens your vaginal tissue. If that's all you want to do, then you can steam 3 to 4 times a year. That's sufficient. So quarterly, like every 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how long does that last? Like, is it stay tight or you got to come back and get it retightened?
Well, you should come back quarterly, so every 3 months you can come back, but your vagina will stay tight for a long period of time.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
It'll stay tight for a few months. Okay. It'll stay tight for a few months. Mm-hmm. So even women who've had multiple vaginal births, they see a benefit in doing vaginal steaming also.
Mm-mm, I think you got a test dummy here.
I have a question. Yes. So I did my research before you came because I had a lot of questions. And in one of the articles that I read, women were like raving about their sex life and how it drastically changed and their husbands were like excited. Mm-hmm. Other than the tightening, does it do something else sexually that is making sex feel different?
Well, a tight vagina is always good.
Don't fall over, Mike.
I think because you have to think that when we start having sex, whenever you started having sex, your vagina was tight. It's like a suction, right? Which is what men want. They want that suction. After you've had multiple vaginal births or you're 35, 40, I'm 37. So I've been having sex for a long time. So after a lifetime of having sex, it's a muscle. And so it loosens. And so if you can get that suction back, then it's a win. Also, it heightens your sexual experience because it makes your vagina wet.
It stays wet after the steam?
Yes.
Oh, so it's like a lubricant.
Yes. So your vagina gets wetter and it's tighter. It may get wetter because it's tighter and you're heightened, your whole sexual experience is tightened because you feel more.
Is ready. You feel more
when your vagina is tighter. Mm-hmm. If your vagina is loose, it doesn't matter how big the penis is. If it's not gripped by the vagina, then the sexual experience is going to be different. So if your vagina is tighter, then you have heightened sexual feelings and you get wetter. And so you get tightness and you get a more lubricated vagina.
So, okay, going back to you. So
yes.
So you didn't finish. So if you have any of the other ailments.
So it depends on what you're dealing with.
Yes.
So like someone who has fibroids, mm-hmm. I suggest that they do a steaming regimen. So they would... I like to do the initial steam, mm-hmm. and then I would suggest that you purchase an at-home kit, mm-hmm. which means that you will be doing your steaming at home for consecutive days. So someone who has fibroids, you want to steam a few days out of the month consecutively for 3 to 6 months consecutively. Because herbal healing is not the same as, of course, you getting it cut out of you, or even you getting pharmaceuticals. It takes time. But what herbs do, the reason that they work is because herbs push toxicity out of your body and it balances your body's systems. And so with fibroids, it balances out your body's systems, it pushes toxicity out, and it begins to melt the fibroids. So for someone who has fibroids, you're going to steam, you're going to do a steaming regimen of 3 to 6 months. You want to steam about 4 days before your period comes. For someone who has yeast infections, you want to steam consecutive days until your discharge becomes clear. The same with someone who has bacterial vaginosis. You want to steam consecutively until your discharge is clear and odorless. Someone who has irregular, so someone who has a painful period, let's say you have heavy bleeding because you have fibroids. You want to steam before your period. You want to steam certain days of your cycle. So it all depends on what you're dealing with. Someone who does steaming postpartum, meaning after you've had a baby. If you've had a vaginal birth, you want to wait about 2 weeks. And then you want to start steaming for 30 days consecutively, even if you're bleeding. For someone who's had a C-section, you want to wait 6 weeks after your C-section and then steam consecutively for 30 days. So it depends on what issue you have that determines what your steaming regimen will be. But for the woman who doesn't have any of these issues, you just want to steam once the week before your period every 3 months.
Hmm. Janine, when you going?
I'm still thinking about it. I'm not necessarily signing the papers now, but I'm not opposed. It sounds healthy. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty intriguing. I don't have a lot of health issues like fibroids, any of those things, but just the hearing how healthy it is and how it can get rid of toxins, I might want to try that.
So I'm very sensitive. Mm-hmm. My pH balance gets, you know, knocked mm-hmm. off. Just wearing something I'm not supposed to be, you know, wearing, mm-hmm. changing underwear or something. So what does it do for your pH balance?
You know, it balances your pH and your vaginal tissue. Our vaginal tissue and our anal tissue are the most sensitive tissue that we have. So our bodies absorb everything. So if you wear pads, tampons, you use a certain detergent that has fragrance that doesn't mm-hmm. agree with you, a lot of different things can change your pH balance, even the foods that you eat. Mm-hmm. So when you steam, it just herbs naturally are like magnets, right? And so they just basically grab onto where your body is deficient or where your body has excess. So this whole practice is based on, like the practice that I do is based on Chinese medicine. So it's based on yin and yang. It's based on excess and when you don't have enough of something. So it basically just is attracted to where you are deficient. And so if your pH is off, it will just naturally balance out the pH of your vaginal tissue, of your vaginal cavity. Hmm.
So you know all of this because you're a holistic nutritionist.
Yes.
And as well as
a clinical herbalist.
Okay. So you do more than vaginal steaming, I see.
Yes.
What else do you do?
I do nutrition coaching. So women who... My practice is mainly women. So women who are having issues with weight loss, women who just need a coach and they want to start a new health journey, a wellness journey. Also women who have some more serious chronic health issues, I do nutrition coaching for them. So I have programs that range from 6 weeks to 6 months. And I just basically teach women how to journey to wellness based on what they say their goals are and what their needs are. So that's what I do. I also have a juice company. I sell raw juice. It's called Love Core Juice. And we do juice cleanses for people. And, you know, people can do a 3-day cleanse, a 5-day cleanse, a 7-day cleanse. Mm-hmm. Just depends on what the person wants to do. So I do cleansing, coaching, and vaginal steaming.
So with the vaginal steam, also I heard something about fertility. And you said
yes.
So
women who suffer from infertility, like if you have no period, a scant period, I can bring your period back. I can make it regular. If you have thin uterine lining, meaning that you can't even, an egg cannot attach to your womb, I help to increase your uterine lining. All of those things can be helped through vaginal steaming.
Do you just change the herbs, I guess, according to what?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So different herbs do different things. And based upon what issue you have, that determines what herbal blend I use. Because I have an extensive knowledge of herbs, I know what herbs work best together, what herbs work against other herbs. So some herbs basically are conductors, like in science, and they help another herb to do what it's supposed to do. So depending on what you have going on, that determines the herbal blend that I use for your steam. So if you have a few different things going on, then I'll use a few different blends together.
Hmm. And you said, so have you done any men steaming? Is there any?
I have done a few men, yes.
What are you steaming with them?
Wait, so you're steaming their balls?
No, their anus.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes.
Oh. Hmm.
A man's prostate gland is through his anus, and men steam for prostate health. Of course, there are men who steam for other reasons, but
like,
well, it tightens the anal cavity. Ooh. Yeah. So I've had several men who, you know, ask me, "Do I do it?" Because they want that result. Mm-hmm. But there are some men who get steamed for prostate health. They either have had prostate cancer, mm-hmm. or they've had a scare, and they've heard that steaming, mm-hmm. Basically helps the prostate. It detoxes the prostate gland, and so, you know, when cancer and illnesses reside in the body, it is because the ecology of that system is thrown off. And so you have free radicals basically swimming around in your body, and they find pockets, and that is how disease is breeded. Like, mm-hmm. it finds a pocket and it develops a tumor will develop, sickness develops. And when you detox the tissue and you have an alkaline system, disease and illness cannot live in that environment. And so to detox no matter if you detox through a cleanse or you detox through vaginal steaming, any sort of detox basically cleans your body out so that it alkalizes your body's systems, mm-hmm. so that disease cannot live in that place. Disease can't thrive if your pH balance is what it should be.
So you can't do anything. Steaming doesn't help, like, STDs or anything like that. Do people come to you and think that they can?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Yes. So what? People who have HPV, people who have some STDs, yes, it can. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
HIV? No.
No, not HIV. Not necessarily viruses.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you have, because a lot diseases. Of diseases, like, things are, they that it's like a virus, no. But something that's like a bacterial overgrowth, mm. or things like that, vaginal steaming can help. Hmm. Irregular cells, because it detoxes the cells. And then our bodies reproduce new cells every second that we're here.
So how did you get into this? Like, how did you just pick, like, I'm going to steam vaginas?
it was a combination of things. I had a lot of clients who were infertile. In addition,
hold on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Let's back up. You had clients. What were you doing before?
Health coaching.
Okay.
Clients. Yes, my health coaching clients I had, which about 98% of my clients are women. So my health coaching clients a lot of times have had fertility problems, female problems, fibroids. I serve a mostly African American population of women, and so we have very high rates of fibroids and endometriosis in our community. And so when I do a health coaching consultation, I ask all sorts of health questions, and those things come up. And so I started to notice, like, huge numbers of women who have endometriosis and fibroids and infertility issues. And so I started to do some research. And when I went to herb school, I came across vaginal steaming as one of the healing modalities that I learned about. And I was like, oh, this may be helpful to some of my clients. So I started steaming just my clients only. I hadn't, like, broadcast to the world that I was doing vaginal steaming. And after about 6 months, I started to see some results with some women. Some women, it took a combination of things. Like, some women needed to lose weight to get pregnant, and they did vaginal steaming. They needed to lose weight. Their periods were off. Like, it was like a few different things that they needed to get together. And with them losing weight, changing their diet, changing their lifestyle, getting vaginal steaming, all of those things began to help. And so then I had two clients get pregnant that were unable to get pregnant previously for years. And I was just like, oh my God. So then I thought, well, maybe this could help me, because I had two children back to back. I felt like I still had postpartum depression. I just didn't feel like myself. I had no sex drive. He's now my ex-husband, which might be why he's my ex, but we hadn't had sex in a year, mm-hmm. like literally a year, because I did not have a sex drive. And I was like, you know, I was just desperate. And I said, well, maybe this could help me also. And so I started steaming and my sex drive started to come back. And I was just like, whoa, this is powerful. Like, every woman needs to know about this because this is crazy. And so I started steaming more women. Like, I would just tell my clients who didn't even have any issues, you know, that I wanted to steam them. And they were just like, and I would tell them the benefits and they would get excited. And usually all I have to say is, it'll make your vagina tight. And, and they get excited. And so, you know, that's how I started steaming. Another reason I started steaming, though, is because when I first got steamed, I went to an Asian spa to get steamed. And if you've ever been to an Asian spa, you know the experience is kind of strange. You're naked the entire time. Everyone in the whole entire spa is naked except for the people who work there. All the patrons are naked. And it's kind of strange. If you're not uninhibited, then you're kind of like, oh, my God, this is, like, weird. And when I went in the room to steam, it was, I have a twin sister. My sister and I went together. And we're like, we don't care. Like, we're funny. Like, we laugh and joke the whole time. So it was kind of funny to us that we were, like, walking in a room. It was, like, chairs lined up on the wall. And there was, like, four other women in there steaming. And they were covered from the waist down. But it was just kind of a strange experience. Mm-hmm. It was housewives playing on the TV in front of us. And I was just like, there has to be, like, a more therapeutic way for this to happen. Like, it has to be something else to this. And so once I came across the practice in herb school, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I could do this. And I know that there are people doing this. And it's, like, a whole thing, like, a whole experience. Hmm. Like, it can't be like that we're watching Housewives, and like, this is a sacred time. Like, your vagina is what makes your vagina and your womb is what makes you a woman. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they have very serious issues that they want to address, and energy is everything. And so I wanted to create an environment that provided loving, healing energy to my clients so that they could really get the benefit of steaming.
Well, I must say, Malise, you have really convinced me. You know I'm anti, like, I don't know. But listening to you and you know, having a better understanding of what it actually is, I may have to be the test dummy, Jeannie.
I think we can both do it. Okay. And we'll see who has the better result. And then we'll report back to you how it went.
We'll report back and okay, be like, great. Hey, girl. Yes.
I get hey girl messages every day.
But so moving on to our next topic, because you know, we were talking off air, you know, everyone's going crazy about this What the Health documentary. And the whole, you know, plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And we touched a little bit about it. But, you know, so I've been seeing a lot of vegan restaurants popping up everywhere. Mm-hmm. But then we were discussing that sometimes eating vegan is not necessarily the most healthiest thing, especially for African-American women.
Yeah.
Because of, the, you know, you were talking about some of the things that happen, especially with the soy-based products.
Yeah, the soy, like, soy is so dangerous for women because it basically messes with your estrogen levels. It messes with your hormones. Soy is an endocrine disruptor. Endocrine is the hormone system. And so when you eat large amounts of soy, it just messes your hormones up. And so, you know, in our community, one of the things that happens is we're lactose intolerant as a people. African Americans are typically lactose intolerant. And so if you're not a woman who breastfeeds, then, and you feed your baby formula, a pediatrician will automatically say, I mean, it's getting better now, but let's, like, go back 5 years. They would say, you know, give your baby formula, give your baby soy formula, which means that from the time your baby is born, they are ingesting something that is an endocrine disruptor. It disrupts their hormones. And so we look at our boys who have ADHD, they have learning disabilities. It is because their hormonal system has been disrupted from the time that they were born. Our little girls, they develop very quickly and they get their periods very early. And it is because their hormonal system has been disrupted since they were born. In addition to, I mean, we can get real deep with it, but soy is just, is an endocrine disruptor. The endocrine is your hormone system. And so for me, eating up, like, I'm not a vegan, I'm an aspiring vegan, but I'm not going to be like a vegan who's still eating junk food. Like, I'm not eating fake meat or soy, all soy, this, soy, that. Because it's like, I feel like it defeats the purpose of not eating meat. Like, I thought the goal was to become healthier through diet. Not diet in the terms of a diet, but healthier through your nutrition choices. But if we're eating soy products and drinking soy milk, then it kind of reverses what you're like, what the goal is.
Going back to what you were saying about kids that were brought up on formula or soy formula, because even regular formula has soy in it, has soy and wheat, and it causing all of these issues. Have you studied anything or learned anything that states that once they're older and these problems present, like ADHD and learning disabilities, that there's any type of holistic treatment that can be done to fix it, or is it kind of just too late by that point?
It depends. Like, in order for natural remedies to work, you have to be diligent and you really have to be consistent and dedicated. So you can do like heavy metal detox. Like, you have to detox your body, you have to detox your children, and you have to basically flood their system with nutrients that are going to counter things that, you know, disrupted their system from the beginning. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. The thing is, it's very difficult to gauge how much it helps, because people, it's difficult to put a child on a diet. It's difficult to keep a child from eating junk food. I have two small children and they're not with me all the time. So the things that I say they can have and the things that I say they can't have sometimes does not even, it doesn't matter to other people when they're with their grandparents or even when they're with their dad, because he cannot cook a thing. And so they got to eat. You know what I mean? And so it's like you have to be one of those parents who's like crazy about it. And there are some parents who are crazy about the food. That, like, I used to be like that when they were younger, when they were only with me. And then when they went to their grandmoms, I would send food and everybody would be offended and I didn't care. But because no, people don't really understand how powerful food is. Like, we survive because we eat, you know, like if we don't eat, we don't live. And so, you know, when people don't share the same understanding of what food is, then it's not that big a deal to them. So in order to reverse some of those things, like, you have to be very diligent about the things that you detox your children from and then what you give them. So, like, you're giving them supplements, you're giving them green juice every day. They're only eating maybe an alkaline plant-based diet. Some children are eating raw foods only. Like, it's very difficult to raise a child that way.
So, okay, so I'm considering doing the Whole 30. And are you familiar with that plan? So I'm thinking to start it in August after I vacation a little bit. I'm like, I'm not going to Martha's Vineyard and not eating my clams, you know. So, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I've studied over 100 different nutritional theories. I tell everyone who I come in contact with who asks me my opinion about all these different things. Eat real food. Eat not too much. Don't eat until you're full. Drink a lot of water. Alkaline water if possible. So I think that the thing that a lot of people get mixed up in is all of these labels like gluten-free, Whole30, can't eat this, can't eat that. I say to simplify it, eat real food. Start there. Eat real food. That means no boxes, no cans, no jars, and water, alkaline water. Once you get used to that, then you can start doing some other things. But if you eat real food from the beginning, that means if it can't be killed or grown, don't eat it.
Can you explain alkaline water? I know what it is, but some of our listeners may not.
So alkaline water is water that has the a proper pH. So most alkaline water that's on the market is between 7.5 and 9.5. It just means that the water is chemically balanced. Our bodies, in a perfect state, have alkalinity. So there's alkalinity and there's acidity. And so there are certain foods that have acidity, and then there are foods that are alkaline. Alkaline just means that there is no acidity in the food. There's no acidity in the water. So a lot of the treated water that comes out of our faucets and water that we drink, bottled water, has acidity to it. Alkaline water has no acidity. And so when you drink and eat alkaline, that means that your body's pH is at a perfect pH and disease cannot form in a alkaline environment.
What type of foods are alkaline foods? Are they fruits, veggies, the specific types of
specific
vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables. So, like, as far as meat is concerned, no red meat. Very only white fish.
Yeah, well, there goes my life.
No chicken. Yeah, no chicken, no turkey, no poultry, no meat, no red meat. Only white fish. So like salmon is out. You can eat tuna. You can eat cod.
Swordfish.
Yeah.
Rockfish.
White fish
sea
only.
Bass. Yeah,
that's all right.
What about a shrimp?
No shrimp.
Oh.
No
crabs.
No crabs.
Oh my God.
Hello, you better move from Baltimore.
Right. And then as far as vegetables are concerned, some root vegetables, there's like if you Google.
Malise, you don't eat crabs?
I do eat crabs. No, I do eat crabs. I eat crabs, but this is the thing. I believe in 80-20. Okay. Like, I believe if you eat well 80% of the time, 20% of the time, you can eat what you want. I'm not about depriving yourself of everything that you love. Because I don't think that is a sustainable way to live.
I just wrote an article that said that exactly. You guys will see it on tptomeg.com, shameless plug. Mm-hmm. But I literally said the exact same thing. It's called the 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with you. I mean, your thinness clearly shows that you stick to it a lot stronger than I do. I wish you guys could see her. She's so thin and it looks amazing.
Thank you.
But yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, like I don't think that depriving yourself, because we get, a lot of it, like, I'm not a big food person. Like, I don't need to eat. Like, I eat because I have to. So, I do. So, like I'm not the person who's like, oh my God, that macaroni and cheese. Oh my God, that fried chicken.
That's me.
Like, that's not me. That's not me. Like, I'm really fine with eating. Like, if I have, like, some grilled vegetables and, a piece of fruit, like, I'm fine. But every now and then, if I want a burger, now granted, my burger has to have like all these labels just because I'm just so aware of what meat does and what it is or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say I'm never going to eat a burger. I'm not going to say I'm never going to eat some chicken. If my mother fried some chicken and I remember my mother's fried chicken from growing up, like I'm never going to eat it, like never. And so, you know, I believe in 80-20. Some people are more disciplined and some people really feel like, you know, that is the way for them.
Were you always this way? Or like food just never was that for you? Or over time, you've learned to just
No, food has just never been that for me. Like when I was a teenager, I would get in trouble because my mother always felt like I didn't eat enough. Okay. I just really ate enough to sustain me. Like I never filled my plate up. And I have a twin sister who eats like a football player. Looking at her, you would never know, though. You know, she eats what, like, she moved to L.A. a year ago. She hates the food. She's just like, I'm dying out here. Like, the food is, like, it's not home cooking. It's not what it is back home in Baltimore. And I, like, when she comes home, I'm like, you're going to eat that? Really? She's like, can we go to my dorm? I want to get a cheesesteak. I'm like, what? Like, we are almost 40. Like, you still eat like that? And she's like, don't judge me. But for me, food has never been that thing for me. So it's probably easier for someone like me to look at food in a more, like, a more functional way. Mm-hmm. But for someone who really loves to eat, they love sauces. They love, you know, macaroni and cheese. They love all of those things.
Yes.
It's like, you know, you have to choose. You have to decide what is most important. Yes,
you do have to make choices, especially as you get older. You can't eat a certain way at a certain time, doing certain things. You know, that you have to be more conscious of that. And I've learned that, like, I can't. we were looking at some yams today and some cornbread, and we just both, you know, I was like, no.
It was a sad moment. We had a meeting, and everyone had, like, the best food, and we sat there with our little dry fish.
And veggies.
And so, you know, yeah. I don't feel bloated.
You're right.
And I'm awake.
Yeah. And I've only had two meals today. So, you know, like, it just kind of, you have to balance it out. But so, Malise, let everyone know, how could they get in contact with you to get their vajayjay steamed?
Okay. I am on Instagram at Malise Frazier, MeliseFrazier. I also have a Love Court V-Steam Instagram. There's tons of information on there for people who don't know what it is, want to know what it does, like all the details about it. It's lovecore.v as in vagina, .steam. You can also hit my website, lovecorelife.com.
And you're not just in Baltimore.
No, I also have an office in Philadelphia, and I travel. So I'm doing a practitioner series where I'm teaching other women to do vaginal steaming, and I'm teaching them how to start their own vaginal steam business. So I have classes coming up in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Atlanta through the end of the year.
That's amazing. Yes. Wow. Well, thank you.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. So, Janine, we got to sign up.
I'm down. I think we can do it together and hold hands.
Hold hands and watch Real Housewives of Potomac. Hi, Robin. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Shout out to old Jews and old rules. New blacks with new stacks. I already been the king. Retroact, I'm just bringing it back like Jordan Packs. New money, they looking down on me.